Sounds good.
Kind of like your stop sign at the Four Corners, right? There'll have to be a bylaw attached. There should be already a bylaw out there. We might as well put a new bylaw in place to put that, if you want to go that way, put the stop sign up at the Four Corners, the new one, on the Herdville side.
Well, Councillor Hassman's certainly in favor of that, I think. So, do you want to speak to that one?
I don't think I said anything to anybody.
No, yet. I know, but I'm just thinking back to the late 80s.
Yeah, there was quite a few posts put up back then.
Well, that's no bones about it. I am totally against this, and it did come up back in the early 90s. And the council decided, yeah, let's try to stop everybody kind of thing. Well, it wasn't too much longer after that the council decided to get away from that, and they went back and put it the way it is now.
Yeah.
I don't agree with the three-way at all, mainly because when people come up from Blackwater, they're going to say, three-way, okay, is that where, who's stopping kind of thing? Like, you were thinking putting a sign coming from Herdville, where they may assume a car coming down from Broadbent, they may assume, well, they're probably one of the stops. So they're going to stop, so I'm just going to pull right on out.
But if you had a stop sign in each spot?
In each of the three spots, yes.
That would tell you who has to stop.
Yeah.
Also, you're relying on somebody stopping at Blackwater to be able to tell whether there's a stop sign located for the all the others.
Yeah.
Ones coming in, I think that's asking too much of
somebody. You usually see three or four stops when you come to a four-way stop. You can see the other signs.
I don't think that's a requirement of somebody driving is to try looking over and see signs. Otherwise, because you're talking three-way, not four-way, right? I think people will.
You can go four-way.
Oh, not four? Is that your suggestion?
No, I'm not in favor of four-way.
I know the history of that sign. They just tried it before. And it didn't work probably less than maybe a week, right? That sign went walking. So, is it going to happen again?
Well, I think council just decided that it wasn't necessary to have it as a four-way stop, and they had nothing to do with the sign going missing. They just decided that it didn't require to be a four-way stop to continue it through way going to Broadbent the way it's always been. There's no accidents that I'm aware of. No. Is there complaints? I don't know. I think it seems to work fine the way it is.
Yes, complaints.
Well, let's get them in writing then, because I'm not aware of any complaints.
There were some complaints. They said that the amount of traffic now that's coming from Blackwater, and there's the way the road is situated that they don't see. So if there was a four-way stop, it would be better because everybody stops, and it's your responsibility to see if there's another car coming and who comes to the stop sign. It's like in Perry Sound where they have that new stop sign by the church and the Ford dealer. You know, people stop and see, okay, it's my go, it's your go, you got here first. It's your responsibility to stop and make sure that the way's clear.
Lots of people blew through that stop sign when it was first put in in town. People admitted to it.
Oh, yeah.
Of going right through.
Takes, yeah,
what worries me is you have people now have been going, steaming out of Broadbent, heading to work in the morning, sometimes in the dark, been doing it for decades, and they're going to come down around that corner, and somebody pulling out of Blackwater is going to assume, well, they're going to stop. It's now the law. They have to stop, and they're going to pull out there, and this person with that same habit forever is probably going to hit them. I think there's been no accidents whatsoever. I think changing it is going to potentially cause an accident. That's my opinion.
Great.
The only thing I agree with you is about the sight line. It really does suck.
Yeah.
Like when you're pulling out of Blackwater and you go to make that left-hand turn to come to Herdville Road, you're in the middle of that lane.
Yes,
before you can see.
Yes, I agree. Yeah, so
like it really, I don't know.
Like a lines drawn on the pavement might help, but the trouble is with winter, they're covered.
No, like it's a bad situation there. So, as a municipality, do we put the signs up to cover the municipalities well-being.
Yeah, especially if we say it is a bad situation, we're acknowledging it.
So it's because of private property right there. Go ahead.
I think that, this is only my opinion, but I think a four-way stop is the way to go. I don't see any excuse not to have it as a four-way stop. I don't agree with Councillor Haskins' excuse at all. People drive in different areas all over Ontario they're not familiar with, and you have to watch stop signs. That's your responsibility.
Yeah, I'm just saying, though, that all of a sudden you're going to have people with a change in their habit, and I will vote against it because I'm scared there will be an accident after they're put up.
Okay.
So that would be a bylaw that comes before council as well. So at that time, the proponents, you know, for the stop sign can come and explain, you know, their direct observations of that situation, and any opponents can voice their opinion at that time.
You mentioned, I think just briefly too, the stop sign at Center Road and Balsam.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Is there, again, a possibility as you come up over Balsam as you got that hill? You know, stop sign ahead, maybe it's there already around the trail indication of the Balsam Wilderness Trail. Could you have
there is one there.
Could you have a stop ahead so they know coming over the knoll that they have to stop?
But if I speak, I don't think that's the problem. So people coming down Center Road going
to suppose Balsam people don't stop.
Stop too?
No.
But I've only noticed. Yeah, right. But on Center Road, they fly through that stop sign.
Well, the problem is too that little knoll that's at center. We talked about that for years, and just tried to, you know, lower that so you wouldn't. You might go to the little knoll, and you're suddenly up the. Now there is a stop ahead sign there on Center Road. They should be obeying.
Yeah,
but it's like morally saying it's people that, you know, just well they're in a big hurry to get to the store. They just go flying through, and then they're halfway through, and then they look at you and go, oh,
yeah,
you know. But somebody's going to get hurt there, too.
We can fix roads. We can fix everything. But we can't fix stupid. So, I mean, really. We can fix a lot of stuff. But there's one thing we can't fix. So, just got to remember that.
Now, anything else around signage?
So, at which point are we at right now? We've done D and G. Are we going back to E and...
Yep.
Sure, if you want to. Yeah.
So, well, the signs, that's a work in progress still. So we have a few more, we have to get some more hardware, so the 911 signs are slowly being converted over to the new signs. So we're still plugging away at it. We had to wait on a bunch of hardware, but we're still going back at her tomorrow. Try and finish up what we have, and we have to order some new ones because people are stealing already. Mm. Yeah, didn't last.
You're stealing the old ones or the new ones?
New ones.
Okay.
Brandon.
Yeah. Brandon.
Yep. Windsor Lane, down from your place.
What, really?
Yeah, it's gone.
What's it called?
Windsor Lane.
Windsor Lane.
Avenue, Green.
Down by by the Balsam Walking Trail?
No. Just down past Debbie on the left.
Oh.
Hmm.
Oh, really?
Anyways, there's a few of them around it.
I'm just wondering how that works with 911 responders. Are they complaining at all? Because
we don't remove the old 911 number.
Right.
We leave them up. Okay. And probably leave them up until whenever.
Yeah.
At least a year we'll leave them up for. So until everybody gets used to these names, but. So it's a work in progress right now. We're coming to the end of it, of these road names. So we're struggling, but it's coming.
The Balsam Trail one came up, but they're right during hunting season, and nothing has. I talked to Rob Gibson about it to see if forestry had anything on trails, and he was looking for signage as well. I don't know whether he contacted you or not. And they were just wondering, and I don't know whether that's really part of your mandate or not, but maybe it's recreation, but there was a concern that the signage should tell people, too. Again, you can't regulate what they're going to wear, but during hunting season especially, that they should be wearing bright clothing. the complaint came in that the hunters all followed their rules. I took that
for granted. It's just common sense, right?
Oh, yes, I know.
So M&R, they started advertising it in September to wear orange.
Yeah.
How many times did they need to be reminded? Did we remind them today?
Yeah.
We can.
Well, I'm just thinking on the bulk material sign somehow.
Yeah, we can. I mean, it's not expensive to do one of those signs out.
Yeah. Already covered that. Anyway, the MTO, as I say, probably no further ahead at this point. But
it's like, have you ever pulled teeth out of something? You know what I mean? Like,
no.
It just doesn't work very well. Like the Boundary Road light thing, I'm just.
Well, I just on that particular one, I'm not sure what was actually done, but
everything's done on our end.
But years back, just to let you know, with Tate's Island and with the McKellar Lake Road, the same issue came up, and we started through MTO and got nowhere, and we weren't getting any approvals. Our clerk administrator at the time, I don't know who he talked to, but shortly thereafter, we had lights up.
Yeah.
And we're now responsible for those at those locations. But I'm thinking, is there another route, especially if MTO is not being cooperative?
Well, I think what I'm going to do in the spring is probably get this put back in the budget again, like I have every year, and go ahead and put the light up.
Yeah. Sounds good.
I have hydro, everybody, shipment, everybody's ready to go. Just put the damn thing up and because what are you going to do, right? What's MTO going to do? The permits, the applications are there. It shouldn't take 4 years for an application to be approved. I don't care who you are. It shouldn't take that long. You should go ahead and do it. So I think that's what we'll do in the spring.
Yeah, well, it all started. We saw the one that coming up, Long Lake Estates, I guess they had one prior to the township having them. And then we saw that and said, well, that looks, it's good there. People are exiting off there. And so we asked for the ones, too, on Tate's Island and McKellar Lake Road. There were requests for those. And but that's the route we had to go, just what you're suggesting now, I think, to get it done.
I think that's what, yeah, that's, I, you know, because you can only tread water for so long, you get tired of it. So I think that's what we'll do, just to get things rolling. And one thing about it, if we get some flack from MTO, for that little light, maybe we'll get their interest on some of these other issues on the 24. Just by rattling some chains that way. What do you do, right? I mean, as a municipality, we gotta keep moving ahead. We can't wait on someone like that.
Yeah. Sounds good. The other one that came up recently since our last meeting, Lakeside Drive and Lakeside Crescent, speed limits. One person had said that they couldn't even see a speed limit sign. So I guess the question is, what is the speed right now? Is it 40 in there?
It should be 40. If it's not 40, we can get it put at 40.
And there are no signs?
There should be, but this stuff goes missing all the time.
Okay,
so there should be signs up.
That's something you would investigate.
Yeah.
And we have a person in the audience here, too, so. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah. Dave Spiegel, I represent the Manitowoc Peninsula Association. I just wanted to comment on the whole MTO thing. Yeah, we really would like to see a light standard there at Boundary Road and the 124. We're the ones who requested it, and we've asked several times. But just a bit of positive news. There was some road lines that were incorrect after the repaving exercise, and we actually were able to successfully get them to correct that problem. It did take a few months, but they actually did come back in and fix. There was a passing allowed at the top of the hill when there was a hidden intersection, right, counter to what it was before. And I know McKellar had been sending MTO messages, but we had a few of our members also directly send emails to the MTO. And I think when we started sending the residents in the area also starting to harass MTO a little bit more, we got a little bit more attention. I'm happy to do that on the Boundary Road light standard as well. Right, but sometimes just hitting them from different or multiple positions may in fact get them to move a little bit on that. But we did get the line problem fixed, which we were happy about, because that was a safety concern after the road had been repaved in the summer.
Well, I could have suggested this one, and the letters sound good, but maybe just let Greg go ahead with his approach, and if there's any feedback or whatever, then we could do the letter campaign. So sure. His approach should work, I think.
Way real.
Yeah. That's great.
It's not like they're not aware of it. So that light would have been put up 2 years ago in Fowler, before they started. And it become this black zone or whatever they want to call it. Yeah. So then we can't do any work. Well, now here we are, probably two or three different workers involved with this through MPO. And so the left hand doesn't know the right hand's doing it. And that's the situation. I'm sure that's what the problem is. It's just there's staff changes and they're not able to keep up. Yeah. So we'll deal with it.
Now back to Lakeside.
Yeah,
I'm just wondering about the signage there, and there was always was a concern, I guess. But again, as Councillor Haskins said, maybe there've been no accidents, but in a slower speed there. But when you get into the actual Lakeside Crescent, the second turn, and you get left and right there to Crescent left, and then you go to right down to the cul-de-sac. There's only one sign there, I believe. I don't even know if there's a yield sign there for anybody, so it's confusing for people to know who has the right of way there.
There's a few of them around. You know, it's just to correct stuff like that is, again, bylaws. Every time you put a stop sign up, you get a bylaw. So back in the day, it was easier to put up a yield sign.
Right.
And then the yield signs go missing, and then ends up being no signs.
Yeah, because I think there was one too, West Point Road with one.
There's a stop sign there now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because there are certain areas, you're right, throughout the township where that comes up.
That's right, yeah. There's, and once, you know, the population is gets more and more, well, guess what? We're going to have more and more of these stop signs, whatever going on.
Yeah. The community safety zone. Where you're at there through the village. We have people here from the public too who can speak to it.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of years of research on this.
So the Deerfield approach, I think, would be a great approach for this incident. I think
with the letter campaign?
Yep.
Yeah.
I think that's it's the only thing left to wake them up and get speeded in. I know it's in Parliament right now to get this change. So They're not sleeping on it. It just takes time.
What exactly? Is this the no parking in front of the Minerva
Park? No, the speed limit. That has nothing to do with me.
Okay.
I want that clear right now. It has nothing to do with me, the no parking.
I'm just, because I heard that was in legislation too, so I don't know.
It is. They bundled the two. So, whatever. But it is. If they promised me it is in Parliament, has to be passed, and goes back.
Is that for the community safety zone?
Yes, they bundled the two together.
Okay.
Yeah. But that was the community safety zone to the lake. You know where the.
So what about out here, which has been going on for years?
That's it. That's it.
This too?
Yeah.
So we can't have a community safety zone here until it's passed in Parliament?
That's right.
Well, how come before you used to be able to?
I'm not sure. You had to wait. I think it still has to be locked, but I'm still concerned, too, about, you say, at the lake there. We're pushing for further south.
You know, I know you're. Yeah.
Okay.
I thought I was doing good getting it done. They didn't want to budget at all. When it first started, no. There was no, you know, getting away from it, but now they've got it that far, so maybe I can get it over the hill.
Yeah. Now that would be good, because we've got Spring Hill.
Oh yeah, I agree. I live right there. I know it's all good. But whether they'll go that far, I don't know.
Councillor Kiker.
You mentioned the community safety zone is in Parliament, but we received a report September 13th, 2022, indicating that the community safety zone request has been turned down by the OPP and MTO, citing village has sidewalks, 50 kilometer an hour paved shoulder, and no school zone. The MTO is in the process of warranting the 50 kilometer hour extension, along with no parking on shoulders of the highway. Once this is completed, electronic signs will be installed. So, is the community safety zone actually something that's in process, or is it the 50 kilometer hour zone extensions and the parking on the sides of the highway?
So it's a 50 kilometer hour extension. The parking on the highway is one. That's in Parliament. They tell me that the community safety zone can go ahead, but we have to have this letter campaign. So that's where the confusion may be.
Full name, just a little bit.
Sorry?
Full name so we can pick out.
Ken Jackson. This is the first I've heard of a letter writing campaign. I think it's a good idea. But we've been talking about petitions and stuff for a while. I don't know.
Isn't that the same idea?
Well, is a petition not something that you go around these people's houses and they, but that's one letter. My understanding of letter writing campaign would be each individual writes a letter to the.
Well, go ahead. But I think you would be the right idea to get that petition going.
Okay.
I mean, that's everybody right there.
Yeah.
Right? Rather than a thousand. Yeah. Yes, it'd be nice to send them a thousand.
That's just what I thought.
I wouldn't drag a beat on that.
Yeah.
I really wouldn't, because Mike's right when they say we don't have a school, we have sidewalks. Like they take all that into consideration. Anywhere where there's a school, now check this out. McDougal School is 80 kilometers an hour.
Mm-hmm.
It's a community safety zone.
Yeah.
Just saying. Like, we have a 50, but we don't have the sign saying it's community safety.
Yeah.
Do we need that? Does it do anything for us? Just to have that sign up, I really don't know if that's going to do anything for us, rather than, I think the biggest benefit we're going to get is getting that 50 extended towards their zone.
Because
right now they don't slow down until they get to our yard.
Oh, you're right.
And they're still doing their 80 by the time they get to Center Road, maybe 70 by the time they get to your place. So if we have that extended out, they have that longer period.
I think that's a great idea.
Yeah.
But I don't think that slows them down. Like living across the road here for the last 35 years, it's, most of the people travel reasonably through the village, but you get some people who just, they don't care. And like I've done it a million times, you come from Parry Sound and I pull into the 50, so I slow down to 50, and there's people just ramming behind me. So I just drive all the way up at 50, and then I pull off and let them go. But they don't pay any attention to that 50 sign, I guess that's what I'm saying. The people who want to go fast are just going to go fast. And if it's community safety zone, at least they know they're going to get their fines doubled. If they, I don't know.
I think it's probably been 25 years that this community safety zone has been.
Oh yeah, I was searching for the letter. I did pass it on to Ken and Deanna.
Yeah. It was in the 1990s, and the last attempt was 2005.
No, there was one that was insane.
Okay, so we have tried, but I agree that it needs to be extended, but I also agree that community safety zone, when your fines are going to be doubled, is a real incentive to slow down. And our stumbling block, I think, in the past has been, like I've talked to Glenn Kraft. At the MTO, and council is in support. That's step number one. Step number two is the biggest stumbling block, and that is the OPP. And the OPP needs to be shown that it is an unsafe area. And it is unsafe. We don't have a school, but we have three school bus stops. Mm-hmm. I spoke to Barry Bell, and he is willing to support us in this endeavor. His bus drivers see terrible things every day, and they don't want to let the kids off the bus. The four lane has made it worse through the village, believe it or not, because people will pass because they see it as a four lane and that sort of thing. So step number one is the resolution from the council, which we have. Step number two is to try and convince the OPP. Now, they will be looking for public support, so I like Greg's idea of letters, perhaps a petition. One of the reasons we were turned down last time was because there were no collisions. That doesn't mean it's safe, in my opinion, from what we see. So I still think the extension plus the zone would make this a better place. We only have sidewalk on one side. We don't have it on the other side. We don't have it plowed in the winter, so it's extremely unsafe with logging trucks and salt trucks. It becomes a small tunnel where people are still trying to walk to get their mail and walk to the ice rink and all that sort of thing. It's twice as unsafe. We did have two people with motorized wheelchairs that could go nowhere in the winter because there were no sidewalks. And they lived up in the apartments there, and they had to go and get their mail and that sort of thing. I think they've since moved. But we're willing to help with anything we can with the petition. I think the other thing we need to get in place this time is DAB and the signs that Greg has somewhere. It would be really helpful because they collect DAB, and that's what the OPP are going to want. And Glenn Kraft at the MTO told me if we can get the OPP on side, that's the big stumbling block. So we need to have those signs installed to collect the data about the speeding in the village throughout a couple of seasons. You would think winter would slow people down. It doesn't. We watch the salt trucks go through at 80 kilometers an hour. There's absolutely no chance they could stop if somebody's pulling out of their driveway or trying to cross the road. A car, maybe, not a salt truck. So we need to get the OPP on side, and Ken and I are willing to, I think a petition is a good way to start, because then you have a chance to talk to people at their door and say, and please write a letter, and this is who you send it to. So we'd be willing to do that. But we also need the data this time, because in their report, the OPP said we didn't have data, we only had anecdotes. So this time we need to cover that and get the signs installed, collect data for a couple of seasons, especially the summer, but also the winter. Well, the volume has just... Anyway, yeah, that's where we're at.
It comes to local OPP?
Yes. And
so there's some detachment.
Yes. It has to start there.
The sergeant lives up in McKellar Lake Road. He does. Kids use the bus.
Yes, Jeremy McDonald.
Councillor Hausman had a point.
Well, actually, Deanna covered pretty much everything, but the safety zones do work. They do slow people down. You see them at Dougal School all the time.
Oh, it's crazy. Try and go to town.
Yeah, like everybody zooms along at 100, but they actually do slow down to 85, 90 maybe still, but it does because they're thinking of that doubling of the fines or whatever. That, when you hit people in their pocketbook, they start to think a little bit more. And then I was going to suggest, which Deanne already confirmed, that Ken and herself, when doing a petition, would ask that the people write letters also to the proper authorities, and that should go a long way also. And then, as Deanne was mentioning, if Greg, you'd look into doing the setting up to do the surveying, whatever information you would need to...
Yeah, I've got the signs ready to go. It's just getting permission from them. And I can get a permit for temporary. What's temporary in MTO's books? I don't know if it's, you know, season upon season. I really don't know. Usually it's a 6-month thing.
So we want to make sure we have summer.
Yeah, get it in place for a spring installation, and at least till, you know, October.
Sure.
So I go with that first.
That'd be great.
Yeah. Rich?
Can I ask the council rep from the police service board what they have said about this, or have they said anything about it?
So what do I have here? So the main points are that they make the decisions based on data and facts, and that's what they want is the data and the facts. So we've been trying to get, and they mentioned that at the CPAC meetings as well, that they were working with the Public Works Superintendent to ensure that those digital signs would be going up, and there was an understanding that that was part of the process. So that's I think the holdup right now is, and the council has approved this for at least a couple of years ago now.
So Barry Bell has never wrote to the OPP then?
No, but he will. He's on track. There, we have three bus stops within this community, what we want to call the community safety zone, and it's a real concern for him.
There may be more if they extended the 50.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got a letter from Barry Bells.
Well, I agree. We've read some of the letters before.
Yeah.
He doesn't like to put pen to paper, but when he does.
No, he's all for it. And I'm not against it. It's just who we're dealing with, and it takes time.
So if I can ask advice, who would the petition be directed to? The OPP or the MTO?
Well, I know in the past, and unless it's changed, I know it came from MTO in North Bay, and that there's on the recommendation of the OPP. So I don't know where, I guess, you know, as they say, you have to get the OPP on site, because their arguments at the time was that, as you say, no incidents, no accidents. We had the same problem with the streetlights at those particular locations. Well, where are the accidents? And the same with our Middle River Bridge. You know, we wanted support there too, and I said, "Well, where's the accident?" And then this, I think, and they said too that even if you put in the community safety zone, we can't guarantee that we can patrol it. And so that was the staff sergeant at the time, and maybe this new one is different. And he just said that they're ineffective, in his opinion. So he never recommended that it be approved, and that sort of fell apart right there. So I guess you have to get the OPP on site.
Okay.
Well, because MTO seems to listen to them.
Yeah, and my answer to that would be, what else do we have to slow people down?
Yeah.
We've got 50 out there already.
Greg knows what speed bumps are.
Yeah.
We're the nature.
Yeah. So that would be my, you know, question to him is, there is a problem.
Why not rumble strips? Ask them to put it in. Seriously.
Yeah.
Pretty cross. Zip. Right on the island. Just saying, to wake you up when you hit them.
Whatever can be done.
Yeah.
It's best. The game for anything.
Other than the community safety zone, I know on the way to Midland they have big signage that says, you know, if you're 10 kilometers over, your fine is $500 or $1,000 every time. Something like that, with that.
We're dealing with, if all of this was on our own roads.
But we'd still have to get permission from MTO to put that kind of signage up?
So as far as McKellar Township's concerned, we're maxed out on the amount of signs we have on 124.
Because I know when I see those signs, I think, oh, slow down.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to get $1,000 fine.
So Archipelago has these little signs up that look exactly like children.
Yeah.
And they place them along the side of the road. Have you seen those?
Yes.
Please slow down.
Yeah.
You know, them little signs actually work.
Oh, man. I thought you were going to say somebody hit them.
No, they look like kids.
Yeah.
That slows you down.
Yeah.
Simple things like that. You know, maybe not so much in the wintertime. You take them off in the wintertime. But in the summertime, they actually work.
Yeah.
So would you have one of their hard yard, one at Minerva?
So
you get a 7-TO priority.
You need permission.
Sure. Everything you do on that corridor, we have to have permission.
Well, then why don't we ask for a stoplight down there, and then they have to stop and then slow down?
They won't do that. It's a through road highway. They won't. They tried that at 124. Remember? They killed a lot of people.
I know, and they said there was no problem, and so they came to see it, and the people got in a crash.
Yeah.
Anyway, Greg, thank you for your work on this, and thank you for your support. And we'll go ahead with the petition. That's mm-hmm. the way we'll start. I guess the next step would be to have the data collecting signs.
Yep.
And then we make a, you know, a submission. Maybe Mike can help with that to the OPP and just say, this is the data, this is the petition, and hopefully I know we have public support because everybody who lives along here has a story about a close call. And so thank you for your support on that, and we'll hopefully move forward.
You know, I do have a hydro pole in our front yard at the shop. I could probably get one sign up. Just saying, if they're going to be dragging their feet, we could put the sign. I could put the sign up on that hydro pole, even two signs, one each way.
See, there's, you want there's, to chase them to come and complain.
There's your data. There's your data. Right? Seriously,
yeah.
It is Bluetooth capable. So at OPP, I can give them the number, and he can look on it on his phone. The hot times of the day for that's what they want. They want to know that data, so they know what time to send that cruiser out. They don't want me sitting there 8 hours a day. They want to sit there for 15, 20 minutes, get two or three people every day, get the word out. You know, that's what they want. So if I put that sign up, those signs, on that post, there's no permit involved. If there is, I'll take it down.
Yeah.
Better ask for forgiveness.
Exactly. Well, in a situation like this, when we're waiting years upon years upon years just to get an answer, let's just do it. Mm-hmm. What are we going to do? Oh, you're going to get a fine? Well, give me the $300 fine. I'll talk to you later.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's, I hate to do stuff like that. It's kind of backwoods. But it really is. Asking for forgiveness.
Compared to speed bumps.
Yeah, normal strips.
They usually make
parts of the mirrors.
You know what?
Why don't you just leave it? Why don't you just leave it in my hands? That part of it will still work on the community safety zone, but getting those electronic signs up, let's just do it that way. And we have data, we have a sign up. Hey, we better. They're going to. The far end of the village, not so bad. You do get the speeders, but it doesn't seem to be as. Like, they have a long ways to slow down to 50. It's coming into the village right where we are. If you have that electronic sign up right there,
yeah.
That's going to tell us, and both ways, because we had our own radar detector. We had our own radar gun out, and people were reaching, you know, 80, 90 kilometers pulling out of center road to our area.
Yeah. It's also the construction of the road, too. Like, it's a curvy road for, you know, to be going 80 or 90 kilometers an hour through here. We have a neighbor who's afraid to cross the street. Mm-hmm. Because of the curve here, she's got lots of time, and then they just, you know, so it's a concern. So thanks for your support, and we'll go ahead with that, and see how we do.
Just
one other thing we haven't actually discussed is plowing the sidewalks. I know that's another situation, but in my opinion, that is, it's extremely important because. This community center, you know, everything that happens in the township happens here. Kids at the rink and kids at the ball field and people coming for the mail and whatever. Right now, like, my son and I walk from my place down to my mother's, most of you know where that is, there at Christmas time, and I didn't know whether we were going to make it. We went down there in the evening and back, you know, a few minutes later, and there's just, you know, it was this big snowstorm and everything, I realized that. But at the same time, there was nowhere to go. Absolutely nowhere to go when we were walking. I was wearing an orange coat so that cars could see me. And, I, you know, quite a few cars went by, and it's dangerous. So my mother, there's no way she could walk up here for her mail in the wintertime. Absolutely no way. So I think it's really important to get that done. I know it's another can of worms. It's even more than the community safety zone, but... if there's a way it can be done, I think it should get done.
So yeah, this was brought up at the December 6th meeting, and Greg had a response to it, and I'm sure he's going to reiterate insurance.
Well, no. So the problem is maintaining. Insurance is one thing. We're going to be sued. Get ready. But it's maintaining it. So how do I coordinate maintaining that sidewalk for 8 hours a day at the minimum? Every 4 hours, we have to have the tractor go over that. When MTO plows the highway, recoats that sidewalk with their snow and slush. If we own the road, and this is where the problem is with maintaining it, I plow it and sand it. I coordinate with my own guys. We only have to do it maybe once, maybe twice a day. MTO is, as you know, chase snowflakes. So they're continuously putting slush and snow on the sidewalks after we've been there already and maintain it for the day. An hour later, somebody slips and falls. Whose fault is that?
I totally understand what you're saying. I guess.
Like, it's just because it's MTO. Like,
yeah, I know.
We know. We had to talk to them about our driveway, so we know the vortex that you're in.
Yeah, like, it's a... Yes, we can do it. We have no problem doing it. But the liability part of it.
Yeah, and I understand. I totally understand what you're saying.
Yeah, it's one of those...
I don't know if there's a way we can go after the MTO to do it.
No, they won't do it. They tried that, back in the day, I worked at Siegman. And so in Rossville, Siegman has their own sidewalks. But on the highway, MTO has the sidewalks. I guess now there is an agreement that Siegman will do those sidewalks, which is only about, here to the rink long. You know, it's not very far. But that took a lot of their... I just don't know how we can do it here. I really don't.
Like you say, MTO plows regularly up and down the highway, so in the middle of the night, there's no way you could follow them. You know, they're scared.
No, like it can be terrible. It's just a terrible situation for us as maintainers and as, you know, council as a whole and the municipality. It's a big liability. You know, I agree with you guys. It's terrible here trying to walk. It's a catch 22. Do you do it? You know we're going to be sued. Is it worth it?
The MPO is in the same situation, just in my opinion. I'm no liar, but they put those sidewalks in there. Township didn't put them in. The MPO put them in. So now, they expect people to walk on the sidewalks. So then all of a sudden snow comes on the sidewalks. Can't walk on the sidewalks. Somebody gets killed by a car on the highway. The MTO, in my opinion, would be the first person I'd go after. You know, so,
okay,
this isn't your...
Right now, if that's the case, MTO is liable.
Right.
As soon as we put our plow on that...
Oh, I agree. Then it's you. I get that.
100%.
Yeah.
You know, I just... Really, I don't know if it's...
I totally...
It's a
no-win
situation.
No.
You know exactly what you're doing.
Yeah, I know. Yes, we have a good insurance policy, but we're going to wear it out.
One point I want to make is that the one variable that you can remove from this is the township plowing the sidewalk, and that it's subcontracted, so the contractor is responsible 24/7 to maintain that sidewalk.
We're still listed up as liable.
Right, but you know, with the township having a staff to be able to ensure that...
Well, that's not a big deal. Oh, I get you. Okay, you're right, Mike. You know, I figured it out as it is. It's going to cost the township $50,000 a year to maintain that 1 kilometer sidewalk. That's without the equipment. You contract that out and see what you're going to pay. Probably twice that. Not quite. Probably $75,000 a year. It's huge. It's not just plowing it once and sanding it once. You have to babysit that thing.
Oh, yeah.
With MTO, this is the problem. If it was our road, we can coordinate the plows and sand and plow it accordingly. With MTO being up and down the road continuously, how can we be liable for that sidewalk? Which we are going to be then. Do we want to?
Does anybody ever check to see if we can even get insurance coverage?
Yeah, I checked today.
Would they cover you on somebody else's property?
He said so.
I will.
They'd be named in on the suit, though. And he'll be named in on the suit. So,
which is my point. That goes back to the MTO again. And if they put the sidewalk there, they should maintain the sidewalk.
Yeah. Well, look at the maintenance they did at the front here. Look, oh, that's been 2 years.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
And I had the inspector right there and showed him.
And the MTO inspector?
Oh, yeah.
So, but Fowler does the thing.
So this is the guy that babysits Fowler. So to make sure they're doing the job right, that's the guy. And if he finds anything they're not doing correctly, they get fined for it. That's a big fine.
So did they get fined for
that? No. It's probably not in your contract to do sidewalks. My guess. Just throwing it out there. How long did it take them to fix this drain down here by Herb Thompson's and Billy Moffitt's? 3 years? 4 years?
With three anyway.
Yeah. So, how long is it going to be for this? Why, you reported it 2 years ago? So probably another, this summer maybe? Yeah, it's just ridiculous how, what we have to put up with as a municipality working with the MPO. We're supposed to get along, but how can you get along with a company that bullies municipalities? I don't know. It's hard to work with them, but if there's a will, there's a way, and we'll do it. But as far as following that, that's a huge decision for council.
Yeah. Not related to that, I guess. It's not the plowing necessarily, but speaking of 124 and MTO approval for entranceway for the new area that was purchased down here not long ago, this side of Crawford's. Is anything moving there to get an entrance into the township property rather than in behind the rink?
Oh, there? Nothing's been...
I think that should be investigated, certainly.
It's just, yeah.
Didn't you get Ryan to look at that?
We looked at that, and... No, it wasn't Ryan.
Wasn't it?
No. We looked at that. What was the problem? The drainage issue? So we'd have to share the entrance with the three, so widen up what's there.
And they're agreeable to that? Because I thought the owners weren't.
It's the only way. It's the only way. Because there's that drainage under the highway there.
The owner of the property that the township purchased from wasn't agreeable to the township owner in the right of way.
Right.
But they were never approached for a shared entrance or anything.
Oh, okay. Okay. Promising.
But he's since passed away, and that was going for sale. So maybe... I think his granddaughters got that property, and then they were going to be putting it for sale. So I don't know. Maybe they would.
We should jump on it.
What's that? Yeah. Well, maybe they would. You know.
Is it? I'm just wondering if it's possible, Dave, that maybe for the next council meeting that we have a motion in place to direct staff to look into getting us an entrance into our new parcel of land over there. Like, start the process, and I think that's very important to get an access in through there.
I think that's good, too, for resolutions. The idea was not to have resolutions at this meeting, but for the next one, I think that's good.
Yeah.
You've created access for construction already, right?
Yeah, that'll be the access for Ballfield, or whatever you decide to put over there. Do you need access off the highway?
Well, I think you do, and I'm just thinking here that the trouble we had with the market just at one time here, people with parking, and I'm thinking if you can start parking even closer, I know people don't like to walk the full distance there, and so that makes it closer, and maybe it would be easier. I know there's a curve in the road, too, as mentioned earlier, but easier maybe to win it out there than try to win it out through here. Because what was happening is they're going in and out of the same entrance here, and that created a problem. They weren't using the bottom entrance because it was already full. I mean, all the vehicles are down there, and you couldn't even enter and go anywhere. So I'm thinking this way, if we do have the roundabout way, then you can have an enter and exit, But I do think we need an entrance there off the highway.
Brian did look at that because there was an issue with demolishing the sidewalk and reconstructing it as well.
I'll see what maybe there was something said, but I don't know what.
Yeah, because we'll should have some excess area to create more parking. You know, when, if we could get the entrance there when you first start coming in, because I believe the Ball Diamond is going to be located more down toward the lake. And so, I think it's well worth, I think it would really improve our community center area if we could get an entrance in there. Because I think we have the frontage.
Can I ask, but I don't know if they'll give it to us. I don't.
Well, I guess that's kind of the direction.
It's got that drainage right there. I can fix that.
Yeah,
I could ask them.
Can you change the drainage?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
There's obviously entrances off there now. So even if it's a sharing case.
There's storm drain on the far side, isn't it?
I think there's storm drain down that hall there, isn't it?
Down our place, yeah.
Yeah, but I know on your side, right?
The one that isn't it?
I couldn't tell you.
I think it's open there. And then the highway uses it and goes out of the office. I'll look into it. It's all we can do. But I don't know if they'll give it to us. We always ask.
Well, you get along so well with them that
we're just putting in.
Issue ourselves an entrance permit.
Sure. How many you want? Give me that $750.
Okay, just want to go down the list here and finish them off. Anything stick out there? Some of this is just for information sake with the roof.
Yeah, we I still want to move ahead. Like, I got plans for Deer Field, I got plans for 152. I would like to see that move ahead. For 152 for this year, I'd like to see the roads, the existing roads where they are in place right now, surveyed off. So 66 foot road allowances where they are. Not any changes. That way it's cheaper for us in the long run to build. We can build where they are. It's cheaper than moving a road. Yeah. So if we could do that this year, then that'll get us in place for next year to do 152. I'd like to do Deerfield this year and then 152 next year.
We would like Deerfield done as well. We deem the members who live down there are the Manitowoc Peninsula Association. That we represent Deerfield and Bay, and we've been working for years to try and get our road improved and then eventually assumed. Our challenge is knowing what it's going to cost under the new updated road standard with the new realities of today's economics versus 3 years ago economics when we last had discussions about the cost. And so, you know, we had internally within our membership sent surveys to everyone 3 years ago. We had high levels of interest and support within our membership. It was like 80% of the people within our community, which is 55 cottages, of which there's about 12 or 13 that are full-time, were supportive, knowing that it was going to cost them some money. At the time, we were talking $3,000 to $4,000 per person. It's probably going to be a little bit more than that, but is it like $4,000? Is it $5,000? Is it $10,000? We need to know a number so that we can reapproach our membership in order to re-gauge interest and commitment, and so, you know, we're patiently waiting for some updated numbers, right, so that we know what the cost of the project is likely to be. You know, there's always going to be things come up when you get into a road construction. We understand that the market's going to change prices, you're going to hit something you didn't think you were going to hit when you start digging. We start blasting and we think it's going to go this way and it doesn't. Like, we understand that, but we'd love to get updated, closer numbers that we can then approach our members again and ask for their commitment right before we start going piecemeal. Like, I know Greg reached out to me a few weeks ago and basically said we'd love to blast the rock. I'm going, yeah, we would love to blast the rock too, but the problem is I don't want to blast the rock at $40,000. We're on the hook for $40,000 just to find out that we can't afford the whole project because everything else went too much. So I need to... I need some new numbers. The sooner the better, so that we can reaffirm. I can get my membership. I can get their input in a couple of weeks' time once I get new numbers. Right?
How many?
We have 55 people.
So you're going to be 4,000, less than 4,000.
If Bailey's is an indicator and Craigmore is an indicator, it probably would be less than four. We were talking less than four before.
That part still hasn't changed much. Don't forget, it's just you know, add 10% on what we were talking about before. That would get you in that. Because nothing really has gone to the whack, except for fuel. So, I mean, that, you know, add your 10%. But yeah, I worked on the prices. And we're still looking at that $4,000.
Okay, so
couple tenders in the spring are not more than 10%.
That was last, yeah. But my budget, so for the budget amount, I use different numbers than what's in actuals. So I leave a cushion in there. So $4,000, like.
But at this point, Greg, we're not making any promises because. Certainly, a council would look like that. We mentioned it before, fees and charges bylaw up front with the actual figures rather than put it in later when they don't necessarily have to pay.
That's right.
So there has to be an agreement prior to any construction beginning that they are in agreement that these are the costs and this is what it's going to be charged to each person.
Yeah.
And I wanted to know, too, that surveyed over a decade ago, that road. Is that survey still accurate? There were stakes, I know, that have disappeared, but that was done. And at the time, there were some buildings on township property. Is that something that's taken into consideration? Now, that was done by, I think, Fowler's, I think who was responsible for that at the time. I think he's probably still working, maybe retired.
You didn't tell him?
No.
Larry Fleet.
Yeah.
He's working for Hall's now. Yeah.
He's for Hall's now, okay, but he did do they did a survey in there, they did that, and they did Craigmore, I think, I believe at the time, and maybe Moffitt, and the stakes were there, and there was a cost at that point that he used, and our road surveyor at the time projected that on different roads, what the cost would be to bring it up. Now, since then, of course, the standards have changed, and I think that's what you're referring to, what the cost would be now, and so rather than promising at this point, I think
I just tell them what the facts are.
Yeah, but the facts are it might not be $4,000. We might have to get better figures, and I don't know whether this is the time of the year to do it, whether somebody can do that or not. But I think we need those figures for them, for their sake, so they know what they have to pay up front, rather than be promised, you say it's not a promise, but you're already suggesting it won't be much more than the others. It may be. We don't know yet until we get some actual figures. And I think we have to do that before we even start any work on the road. I'll put that out to council, too. I don't want to do it the reverse way and do the fees and charges later. It doesn't make any sense. They should know up front with the agreement that they signed. That's what used to be done years back, I know that.
And that's what we're looking for, right? Like our road, as a starting point, was probably better than both Bailey's and Craigmore, but... You know, the negative on our side, they got in before material costs went in crazy. They got in under a previous road standard, which wasn't quite set as high. They got in previous to a fees and charges bylaw, which for us is confusing, right? Because we know that Craigmore and Bailey's, the township, contributed the labor towards this activity, which we think is a reasonable and fair thing for the township to do, considering township staff are paid for taxes, which are paid by us, the membership. But to me, the fees and services bylaw is implying to me that maybe we're going to end up being cost recovered for salary of staff that are already being paid for out of the tax base, which are taxes. So I would like some clarification on that. So, like, there are things that make us easier to work on than the others. There are things that could potentially drive our costs up significantly. We would just like a new revised number so that we can reapproach our members and reaffirm their support, and we would love to then enter into, you know, a formal agreement with the township. We will pay this. You will, you know, upon completion, you know, agree to assume the road. That's what we're looking for, and we would love to get done this year. Right? We're very anxious to get it done. Right? And I'd love to know what council thinks about that, whether or not council in general is supportive. I know that the previous council had been supportive of this, but there are some new members here. I would be interested in knowing how people are feeling about this, and A, for our subdivision specifically, and B, about road assumptions in general going forward in the township, which is why I'm here today.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Councilor Hassan.
I'm just wondering if Greg could recrunch his numbers in and allow a contingency fund there just in case you do run into things, and then that and maybe we can sit down with council and yourself and you can go over those figures, and if they're on the high side just to cover the township, well then at the end of the day, if the whole project doesn't cost as much as what you estimated to their association, well then if we don't use all the money, we can refund it back. But just be on the safe side, so what they're told, all of a sudden we're not trying to add on or the whole project just stops. So if you could crunch new numbers, present it to council, and then we would follow through with the whole process and get direct staff to go through the fees process and get it rolling. That's how I feel, though. Yeah, keep it rolling. And is that a problem, Greg, getting the figures together for us? Or?
$195,000. Some new figures.
Does that include the survey? Because
no survey.
No survey.
Well, there's been so many. What I found looking at the surveys that was in there, there's been quite a turnover in properties. So there's a lot of updated surveys done along the road as it is.
Yeah.
So I mean, to put out the money for a new survey, I think most of it's already been done. Yeah, over the years.
I believe that to be the case. I don't think there's really any disagreement as to where the road is, the road allowances, people's properties are. I think there's a very good understanding. There's still a lot of markers in there. And a lot of property owners themselves have had new stakes put in as well. I think there's a lot of clarity there. I don't think anybody's opening up any cans of worms there. There is a little bit of encroachment here and there, but not a lot. I'm of the opinion that none of the encroachment would impact the road. I think, Greg, you've seen what little encroachment there is, and you weren't personally worried about too much.
No, so those areas that were mainly back towards your place was where the encroachment was. So you got 90% of the road that's at 6.5 meters. The last 5% drops down to 6 meters. Is that still a pass?
Probably. Yeah, we just want clarification.
Yeah.
So that, you have enough room for ditching and other things.
That's
so.
Right, but what Morley was saying, you know, throw an extra $15,000 on top of that, or $20,000 on top of that, just to be on the safe side. If we do run into some extra rock that we didn't notice before that needs to be popped out or stuff like that. Then you know for sure it's not going to be more than $210,000, which is $40,000 to $250,000 each.
Right.
So yeah, and I would suggest then that you do up a letter.
Yep.
You know, so that they can, I guess, yep, circulate their calculations. Okay.
But I just, if we're going to keep going ahead with these things, we shouldn't drag our feet too much.
Oh, well, my personal opinion, since it was being asked of council members, yeah, I'd like to see it roll. I think that was kind of your intentions, was to do that project this year. So probably in your mind, it's one of you've allotted time for that.
Okay.
So,
yes.
But council may have other opinions.
Okay.
Yeah, we would certainly need evidence, which you seem to have right now, that it would be public property sort of thing. We wouldn't be infringing or encroaching on private property. I think the owners themselves would have to prove that to us, but we don't want a situation.
No, we had, I think, from what I understand, is we had that corrected last year when we bought that piece of property.
Well, that's sheets. I'm just thinking in further as it goes along. Yes?
Robert Kelly, 49 Deerfield. 95% of the road, maybe 98% of the road, is 66 feet wide. They're grown house. The only portion that isn't is in front of my house, and it's only 20-foot laneway. All the bars are there in the corners. There's still some of the red wooden stakes. Some of them rotted off. I could volunteer to point out all the culverts this time of year. We know they're snow covered. If Greg needs to look at the culverts, I can take him out the road, show him where every culvert is. I've had the dubious honor of looking after the road probably for 20 years. I know where all the frost heaves are and that, and Greg knows where some of them are now too. And I mean, I can volunteer to help. I'm retired, so I don't mind going with them and showing them where the culverts are, because some of the culverts are galvanized still, which obviously are going to be changed and upgraded. I can show them where all those are, and we have been upgrading them over the years, but for the last 3-4 years we haven't really done a whole lot to the road. We've been waiting for the township and that piece of property and the purchase and the selling of it back to you people. Yeah. So we haven't really spent much money on the road, gravel wise or ditching wise or anything, because we didn't want to do anything that Greg would come in and say, well, that's not right, that has to be 6 inches deeper. So now we have to dig it again. So we basically have done nothing for 3 years. So if Greg needs a hand pointing any, you know, in culverts or whatever, I can, where the rocks are at the edge of the road and under the snow, I can show
them. You know, this is all being recorded, so we've got you now volunteering.
My wife has got to deal with not me.
Oh, okay.
I have no problem with that. Get it all straight.
That's great. Nice.
And to me, the big wild card here is the labor. Right, because as I said, for Craigmore and for Bailey's, the township in both cases contributed labor, which is staff paid by the township, funded from taxes, paid from all the ratepayers such as ourselves. If that continues to be the case for us, right, then you know I don't think our original thinking, you know, we started at 140, here we are a few years later, if Greg's saying 195, you know, that's reasonable based on, you know, X number of years of inflation and everything else that's been going on. But if all of a sudden there's a $100,000 labor component in because we're now susceptible to a new fees and services bylaw counter to what Bailey's did in Craigmore, and we feel that we should, in fairness, have the same type of an arrangement as recent precedents has set, and this is staff already on the payroll, and so you know that to me is the big potential whammy on our point where our costs could go crazy, and if we can get confirmation that you know, the costs are this all-inclusive, or the range of costs are between this and this, then I can very quickly get my membership on board, and we can get everything lined up so that we can get this done this year.
Rich?
I would suggest that a read of the roads policy and the Schedule A attached will tell you you'll have to amend that in order to do that.
Mm-hmm. No, I think he alluded to it, that things have changed with the new policy, yeah. Councillor House.
Yeah, Ray kind of touched on what I had thinking.
Yeah, so there's more to discuss, you're right. But we're certainly hearing what you're looking for, and Greg needs some direction, and go from there. Councillor Kiker.
Yeah, that was the hearing this discussion that I had, you know, is my opinion that the new roads policy was a little more structured administratively, so that work wasn't done without, you know, council approval, that there wasn't a lot of expectations put on the public works superintendent, that he was put, or director of operations, that he wasn't put directly in line with doing the footwork. So I think that the review of the current roads policy is in order at this point in time, and so that we don't end up in a situation where we have not collected the funds expended on some of these previous roads projects even till this day, I believe. That's what was the purpose of the current roads policy, to have it a little more structured, and that there wasn't a lot of pressure put on the director of operations in the process.
Councilor Ryan?
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I mean, I believe, Greg, that the estimated labor cost for Bailey's, anyhow, was $53,000. I know it's broken down, I think, either on the bylaw or on the associated fees and charges bylaw. I do have a copy of it at home, and I looked at it there, and obviously, as mentioned earlier by others, that was not collected back from the ratepayers on Bailey's or on Craigmore. Is that your understanding as well?
That's my understanding.
Okay. And in terms of next steps beyond, obviously, fixing some costs, establishing a contingency fund, which I remember from that document was also around 10%, and for whatever reason that you would know I don't, you came in at a lower cost than was originally expected. That's my recollection. I don't have it in front of me. But
So budget versus actuals?
Yeah.
Budget. My budgets are usually more
than
actuals.
Yeah, and that's just a remembrance of, without knowing a figure, I do recall that. The million-dollar question comes down to, as Dave said, if you added a number that he mentioned, $100,000 on top of the other $200,000 roughly for the upgrade on Deerfield and Bay, obviously that increases the cost by potentially 33%. 50%. 50%, sorry. Yeah, I should know how to do math. But and obviously that's a big thing. I know that was in the last policy. Speaking as an individual, I don't agree with that. I don't think that's a fair thing to do. As a matter of fact, I think it's patently unfair based upon a principle or a precedent that was set before. That can be discussed in another council meeting, and I'm happy to bring more information to talk about that. But I think the most important thing here, what I like from everybody so far, is an agreement to try and push this forward and get it done in this year, which I know is a big deal to folks on those roads. And I'd like to see it go forward and just have some open discussions about those issues and find a way to get it done. So, but thank you for coming and expressing all the insights that you have, and Rob too. Thank you.
Okay. That's enough. Some other issues? Okay. Jump down to facilities. I was just, I kind of cut off the list already, but, and I know we haven't even talked budget yet, and I don't want to shake up Roshan over there, but the two bays, I mean, that was discussed before as one of the options with the schedule to have two bays on the bridge, and also there was a possibility, I guess, of something other than Bells Hill as an option too, and planning as far as sanding purposes and whether you cut down on the time, and I don't think you've given any more thought to that. I know
I don't like the Bells Hill idea.
I know your choice was the two bays at the garage.
Yeah.
And any particular, I mean, the concern in the past has been equipment storage primarily, that something has to be stored outside. And right now we have one salt sand pile, I guess, that's just sits without a dome over it. Is that good
just
or bad?
Sand. Just sand.
That's just sand? Okay.
Yeah.
Salt's added later?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not a big deal. It just takes up a year.
Yeah. But I'm just saying, with the idea, would it be more useful? And I think Councilor Keck can come up with the idea of a tarp. But if it's just sand, I don't know. But, and the problem, it's always been a problem that you can't get at it because it's in chunks and it's frozen. This year might be an exception. But
I mean, is it a big deal? Just,
I don't know.
$7,000 for a tarp.
But what's the other deal? As it goes through the trucks, I mean, is there a problem if it's in chunks of ice?
Oh, yeah, but the guys that are putting it in the dome, I make sure that they put it in the dome, so then they're the guys that are loading on their own trucks, and they make sure that big chunks are little chunks. You know what I mean? So, is it a big deal having frozen sand? Oh, sure, it'd be nice to have everything under a building. But let's
But your priority is the 2 days?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, priority for now is, you know, starting next year, we're going to have 2,000 extra tons of sand sitting in our yard.
Okay.
So don't forget, I have to supply the sand for the small roads, Bailey's, Craigmore. I'll have to supply that. We've increased our sand rate by 25%. There's an extra 1,000. It adds up pretty quick. It's amazing how fast the budget goes up, the sand consumption goes up. Where are we going to store it? I have to talk to the adjacent landowner. Hopefully he'll maybe want to do something there. If that works, then we're golden. I mean, that just solves a lot of our issues.
Well, it's good to hear it's just sand out there as well, because...
Years ago, the municipality probably did a little shake up about putting salt in the sand then.
Oh, as Rich referenced, we were threatened with jail, yes?
Yes, yeah, jail. So that's no longer a practice. It's just sand.
Okay.
I don't think there's any. Yes, it'd be nice to have it under a building. For that kind of expense, right now, no. Moving forward, maybe we'll have another sand dome beside that one.
Mm-hmm.
If we can go that way with some
right. Okay.
You know, it's big bucks. But as they say, you want to play, you got to pay.
That was also mentioned, and part of it, I guess, was the fire chief's report a few meetings ago about a generator backup.
Yeah, you know what? The more I got thinking about that, the more I got thinking about it should be at station two. Why would we want to have all our eggs in one basket sitting over here?
In one area.
In one area. And we have a generator back up here. If it goes down, chances are whatever's down here is going to be down at the same time. Or vice versa. Have it out of station two, somewhere out of this corridor, to sand. It doesn't really make sense for us to have.
They certainly have the building for it and the location.
That's right. Yeah, they have everything there.
Yeah. Councilor Kike.
You have some smaller generators. So I think the point that was being made was that there was enough generating capacity to be able to run whatever repair equipment that you need if there was a power outage for an extended period of time to be able to maintain and work on the equipment for public works.
Yeah.
So you have
we would, you know, up to a certain point, Mike, we would be all right. But of course, like everything, after a certain point, you're going to need extra power. But we've got a generator for the extra expense. Put a bigger generator out of station two if that's what you wanted to do. But for us, we're fine with a portable. Yeah.
How big is your portable?
I think it's 6,500. Honda.
And the discussion also came up from previous, the storage tanks. I think Councilor Kacken,
you might... Oh, you wait. Next. Like, I'm on it. Right now, they're being changed. That's it. I've had enough with Dual Energy. We're putting new tanks in, and we're going to go with Shell.
So how does that operate? Who actually accesses the fuel?
Who
uses it?
The
fire department?
Yeah, fire department and roads.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it's all located over here?
Yeah.
Okay.
Except for the gas, which is out of station two.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it secured?
Yeah. Only people that are in the fire department or the roads can use it. How secure is that?
Again,
we document all our stuff.
We have generators all over the Caribbean, and you know what happened after a hurricane? They show up with angle grinders, cut the locks off, and open it up and steal it all.
Well, they can do that over their yard right now. That's how secure that is.
Yeah.
So if that happens,
yep.
Somebody who knows about it.
But just saying, the new tanks are coming in for our yard. So two brand new tanks. Those tanks, they're so outdated, there's not even a date on them.
So are they, what is the date for them? 10 years?
Are they 20, for 10 years? 20,
I think it's 20. Yeah.
I think it's
20. Yeah. Yeah, for outside. I think inside a furnace has to be re-inspected after 10. I think that's
15, I think it's wrong.
Or something like 10 and 20 or 10 and 15. New tanks now, right? They got that double wall thing, so.
Yeah, I thought probably just got some up there in Whitestone and they were just 10 years.
Could be. Yeah. I haven't looked. I just got the email today, so I didn't look at the fine print.
So, another question. Yeah. So, when somebody gets fuel, is there some law?
Yep.
Okay.
Well,
so,
Scotty marks his down twice. So he marks it down on the board, and he marks it down on the sheet for the gas.
Yeah.
We mark it down ourselves. As far as the fire department goes, I don't know what they do.
So you and Scott get fuel on the tune?
I don't.
Oh, you don't.
No, it's just Scott. I was getting it, and I thought, this isn't good. I just leave it. One guy, there's no, you know what I mean?
So the fire department doesn't log?
Make a note. We'll see what they do.
I don't know. I can't say. They
no,
won't.
Well, yeah. I'm just saying, like, so you know what the gauge is on the fuel that's going down. You've taken X amount out, and the fire department has taken, you don't know.
Don't know. Have no idea.
So the pump itself has a counter on it?
Yes.
So it's easy to log then?
Oh, yeah.
So I think that's one controllership policy that needs to be implemented. So the new tanks that are coming, these are double-walled 220-liter tanks?
No, 4,500-liter, and I'm not sure what the other one is, probably 2,500-liter.
So one color diesel, or one clear diesel and one
color
diesel?
Yeah.
For the grader, or
yeah.
For...
Well, for any off-road equipment, grader, backhoes.
So how much do you consume in the winter for clear diesel for snow plowing in, say, I don't know, what's the easiest?
A week? Probably 1,800 to 2,000 liters a week.
So in 2 weeks, you're using one full tank.
Safe to say. We've ran it already.
Right, so would it make sense just with supply chain issues, concerns, to have two 4,500-liter tanks just to ensure that there's always this buffer for the public works and fire department?
Yeah, well, that's why I went with the 4,500-liter clear. I haven't asked for anything bigger, and I don't know if we can go bigger without having to have a spill-proof
enclosure.
Yeah. You know, the whole
thing. But 245s instead of...
Yeah, I can go 245s. But then we have 4,500 liters of colored fuel, which is no good to a fire truck.
But two 4,500s clear diesel.
Oh.
Just to make sure that there's enough, in case there's ever any issues with supply chains, that... Or you got a real bad stretch of weather that there's sufficient there that we're not putting in a...
So just putting it out there, it's $15,000 for two tanks. That'd be...
Yeah.
It's expensive.
Yeah.
With a lifespan of 10 to 20.
What's that?
With a lifespan of 10 to 20
yeah.
years?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Is it nothing we can do about it?
No, I understand.
With two pumps, you know, you got to have new pumps when the cars are leaking like crazy, but... They're due to be replaced.
I think when we're having budget discussions, we can look at what the finances look like, and I'd always rather be one step ahead than be in a situation where we're put in a predicament. So something that we can discuss at budget time, in addition to what you're ready in the process of purchasing.
Yeah, that's what I said. I think he's already one step ahead.
Like, I'm ready to go now.
Oh, yeah, you just do it.
And tanks. Because I can't wait.
Yeah, no. Do what you're doing,
yeah.
And if we want to look at an additional one, then
that's
something
yeah.
we can discuss.
For sure. You know what? I'm only going this route right now because I have a plan that we're going to get an addition put on. I have to move the tanks later, if at that time we need a, you know, extra 500 liters for colored, well then we can do it then. I think that would be maybe a safe way to do it, Mike, is get what we're going at, like 1,000 plus the 500 gallon, I'm talking, now. And then once we move the tanks around with the new building, hopefully that happens, then we'll address if there's an issue. With Parazone fuel supply, there shouldn't be an issue. This McDougal Energy, he showed up in our yard, just for instance, 20-minute coffee break in the yard, never give us a drop of fuel. Next day, we're out of fuel. Comes back after me calling every day for 3 days. Comes back and gives us half a tank of fuel. And no furnace oil, no color fuel. Come back the next week, give us furnace oil, color oil. You know what I mean?
When he charges you each time he comes?
Oh, that's the other thing with McDougal. $140 if you're low volume. Yeah. So if they happen to stop in.
So that's why he only gives you half.
Ah, Jesus, it drives me crazy. So I've had enough. For that kind of money.
That's what's wrong.
Well, I can go with Parazone Fuels, have good service, and there's no issues. And in the long run, we're probably going to gain that tank of fuel a year, being cheaper because there's no service charges. Like, you're talking $140 a month service charge. That adds up pretty quick, right? That just because we're in every month, I call that buggers because I don't think it's great. So I think we get the new tanks in, you have to, anyways. You have to get all that stuff redone. Get them in, pretty something else. It just makes sense. So I need a resolution for it. Actually, it comes in under the 15,000, so I'm good to go.
We'll talk to the procurement bylaw.
It has 15. I have to have 3 quotes, but good luck getting 3 quotes. I'm trying to get 2.
Yeah. Is it an approved budget item?
It will be.
Well, Greg's learning to play the game now.
You know how it is, Mike. I got to have these things.
I know, I agree. You need, like, we need that.
I just got to. I got to do it. I have to do it. Is it bad timing? Not really, because it's supposed to be nice over the next couple of weeks. I'll get the tanks or get them in and it's done. It's that simple.
Do you have the money in your budget?
It will be. Next week.
So there's no surplus in the...
All kinds of discussion.
You know what?
Forgiveness today.
Can I pay for it now? It's a Roshan question, but I have money. I have money.
Do you receive a monthly budget report for your department from the treasurer?
More like quarterly, which I'm good with. Monthly,
okay.
Is...
Just because the procurement bylaw states that the treasurer should supply every department head with a monthly budget update.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So he doesn't just provide it. If I request it, it's there.
Okay.
And I'm fine with that. I don't expect him to print out a bunch of stuff for no reason. I know in my head what I've got, but we have to do this fuel thing before there's an issue.
Oh, yeah, no. Be one step ahead for sure.
Yeah, yeah. Anyways, I'll deal with it. You'll see the check assignment thing. You'll see that. It'll come across your desk then. You know what it's for.
That's when I get a little shaky.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Any other issues on the list or not on the list? Or, you know, we should probably wrap it up shortly.
Yeah. You know what? There's other things. There'll be more things in another month. So
you're okay with this? Because, like I said, at the start you weren't here, but the whole name seems to be a misnomer, the Roads Committee. And we're looking at doing this as a committee of the whole instead and not have a Roads Committee. The people are interpreting that, some people, as... you know, they can sit on this committee. They want to sit here like an ad hoc committee. So.
No, this is the way I want it. I don't want an ad hoc committee because it doesn't work.
So committee of the whole seems
that's
to work.
Right.
And
that's right.
Public can participate. Yeah.
Yep. Okay. That's exactly how I prefer it.
Great.
Yeah.
Other issues quickly?
So we'll have a further in-depth discussion regarding a lot of these issues on here when we're having budget discussions.
Yeah.
And that would include the asset management plan.
Oh, yeah. Throw that one out there. That's good.
So, yeah, so the it is on here, facilities, files, asset management plan. Currently, we just have a core assets asset management plan, which previously, I believe, was the 2015 version, was a complete asset management plan, which is a lot more in-depth, and it aligns with our asset management policy to ensure that we can have a long-term financial plan as well. So I believe at some point we're going to have to... I think the province has something in place in a few years from now, but I think that to benefit us and to have something as comprehensive as our previous one, instead of going backwards to the current one, which is limiting in detail and information, that we need to have an updated complete asset management plan.
I agree, and a lot of it, I think, not putting more work on Greg, but they come to you anyway with the people who get the contract and that ask you for information. And what we seem to be missing from this asset management plan is the fleet and the buildings, like their ages and when they should be replaced and that sort of thing. So I think that in particular you could probably come up with without having to put it out to tender and get another. Yeah.
Unless we're like, it's not an issue. If there is an issue, I could, for a couple of grand or something like that, I could get Hughes in or something like that to have a look at.
Okay.
If there's any questions, but I should be able to handle most of that.
Yeah, that sounds good. That's Councillor Checkin and saying, I think that would be good for future budgeting purposes to know the lifespan of certain vehicles.
Well, for grant purposes too, it's got to be in that asset management plan, or you don't even qualify for grants.
Right.
So, Senator Rowe, it's in the asset management plan. Guess what? You got some grant money for it. Yeah. So, it works. To go by an asset management plan faithfully doesn't really work as well as people think it should, because things deteriorate quicker than what the plan says. So you have to adjust that plan going forward. Senator Rome can fall apart where in 5 years versus 25 years. Just putting it out there, things change.
Yeah, well, like you say, it's a guide. And I think they knew that when they started it, that it would be...
That's right.
Have to be liquid that you can make changes. And
I think that is part of the asset management plan, is that they want to find that sweet spot where you have maintenance incorporated in that timeline, so that even if the lifespan is 25 years, that after in the asset management plan there's crack sealing or there's certain maintenance aspects that take place to ensure that you get to that 25 years. So it's just a guide,
sure.
And it helps the council for budgeting as well.
Yep.
Okay, anything else?
I don't think so.
Well, thank you. Very productive. And we'll come out of the committee of the whole, and I guess you're almost at quitting time. There's no quitting time, right?
Yeah, there is no quitting time.
So we have Resolution 23-07, moved by Councillor Deccan and seconded by Councillor Zulak. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation Township of McKellar does hereby rise and report from the Committee of the Whole at
4:05 p.m.
Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. To you, if you want to stay.
No, I'm not even. See you.
Okay. I'm not passing any resolutions to give you money at this point.
Oh.
Nothing at this point under unfinished business, new business, public notices, announcements, inquiries, reports by council members, consent agenda, correspondence, question, comment, period related items on the agenda. I guess we could do that one if there are any concerns from the public, but I think all along. We have the confirming bylaw. 24.1 on the agenda, so it's 23-08, moved by Councilor Kekkonen and seconded by Councilor Zulak. The result of Council of Corporation Township McKellar is hereby agreed by law number 2023-04, being a bylaw to confirm the proceedings of Council of first and second reading. Further read a third time and passed at open Council this third day of January 2023. Discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Adjournment, Resolution 23-09, moved by Councilor Kekkonen, seconded by Councilor Zulak. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation, Councilor McKellar, adjourn this meeting at
4:07
p.m. Meet again on January the 10th, 2023, or at the call of the mayor. All the questions, all those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Meeting is now adjourned. Nice, pretty productive.